Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We have got a great show planned for you tonight. I am terribly excited, and I trust that you all are as well. Tonight's show is going to be one that's pretty unusual, but nevertheless, it's going to be a great show. I've got a number of people that will be joining us momentarily, so we're going to get ready and get right to it. My co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, she should also be joining us momentarily. So with that said, I want to, as always, I like to go back and revisit some of our past shows. And I want to start out by mentioning one of our shows that we recently did. And in fact, we did this one last week. We asked the question, are you bored in your relationship? And we got a number of people that responded to that particular topic by actually answering the question. And you'd be surprised at the number of people who are, in fact, actually bored in their relationships, and they're not sure what they want to do about it. You know, you can go back in and listen to the archives, and you be the judge for yourself to decide whether or not that relationship is worth it for you. I think sometimes life is short. I often think that life is short, and we need to enjoy it to its fullest. And of course, if you're not enjoying life to its fullest, then because of a boring relationship, you know, you may very well be the problem. Sometimes we think that the other party is the one that's boring in the relationship, and we fail to take stock of our own deficiencies. And when we look around, before you know it, it could very well be that you're the problem, that you have certainly contributed to it. I don't think any problem in a relationship is all the fault of one person. I really don't. I think that people contribute to it because, remember, somewhere along the way, everybody started out madly, perhaps in love, and they just couldn't seem to be without each other. And for whatever reason, something comes along to cause them to say, well, you know what? They're not feeling that same thing that they once felt. So the question becomes, actually, is love simply a, and that's an interesting thought to look at. Is it simply a feeling? If it's a feeling, then, you know, we could be, a lot of relationships could be in major trouble if it's only, in fact, a feeling. But if it's more than just a feeling, then perhaps we have something. And that's where, I guess, agape love tends to kick in. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can listen simply by calling 347-857-1769. You can visit my website, any one of them, drjessewalker.com, drjessewalkerinc.com as well, and tune in there for some of the products and services that we offer. I'm sure that you'll find something there that may be of interest to you. I have a book out there. It's called After the Passion, Now What? It's a very interesting book. I enjoyed writing the book as well as, of course, reading the book. So, you know, you may want to check that out. It's also available in ebook for a fraction of the cost. So keep that in mind as well. All right. One of the other shows that we've done, and just before we start to bring people in and before we go to tonight's story, we also encourage you all to send in your comments, and we're going to get to that as quickly as we can. One of the shows that we've done is, do you take your significant other for granted? Well, you ask the question, how can somebody take you for granted unless you allow that to take place? Well, you know, of course, anything that happens, it happens considering what it is that happens. It's because someone has allowed it. And sometimes when we're in love or in lust, we do things that we may normally, under normal circumstances, we may not do. So that can happen. And we're not even aware sometimes that people are taking us for granted until, you know, sometimes it's too late. And then we start to chat with friends and say, hey, I just didn't feel that I was treated fairly in that relationship. All right, let's go ahead at this time and bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Fall in Love with Me, and radio show host of her own. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Dr. Walker. I'm excited to be on the show again this evening.
Well, we are very excited to have you, Ms. Blake. We are very excited to have you. Why don't you bring us up to date with your show, how it's going, and, of course, how people can reach out to you. So you go ahead and give us your commercial at this time.
Sure, and I'll keep it brief, but as Dr. Walker said, I have a show that airs on Monday evenings from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, and it's called Two Sips and Conversation. And the show also is a relationship topic show dealing with relationships and sexuality. It's for the grown and sexy, sassy and classy, as we say. So preferably for people 30 and above, and we talk very tastefully about subjects and topics that concern you. And, of course, to find out more about my books and my life coaching services, you can just go to my website at fosteringleaders.org. And that's it.
All right, Ms. Blake, that's a mouthful, and that's great. How is the show going, Ms. Blake?
It's going well. Last night we talked about are you robbing or rocking the cradle, and talking about dating younger, dating someone who is much younger than yourself, but legal. So that was interesting show.
Right. I'm sure it was. I am certain it was. All right. I was just before you came on the air, I was talking about some of the things that are starting to go on with some of our past shows. And we mentioned one of those things. We mentioned, are you bored in your relationship? We did that show last week. And so, I mean, what advice, just before we go into tonight's topic, what advice, if any, would you give somebody who's bored in their relationship? I tend to think that a bored relationship, the person who's considering their significant other to be the boring one may, in fact, sometimes be the boring person themselves, you know. When was the last time that individual took the initiative to do something? What advice, if any, would you give somebody? Or would you have them take stock as well?
Definitely, we always need to take stock. But I also would say communicate and share that with your mate so that they know you, how you're feeling. So that, you know, to avoid being unfaithful in any way or tempted to be unfaithful, just talk and, you know, have suggestions of how you can spice things up.
Okay. I think that that's a great point. All right, tonight's topic, we're going to get right into that one. Tonight's topic is, are you running your companion or significant other away with your nagging? Are you running them away with your nagging? Let's take a look at the word nagging itself just before we get into tonight's story. When you hear that word, Ms. Blake, and I'll give you my assessment of it, when you hear the word nagging, what comes to mind? And let me just throw this out there. Well, let me let you go first. Go ahead.
Nagging to me is someone who just keeps saying the same thing over and over. Basically, if you told the person one time and they don't have a hearing impairment, they pretty much heard you.
Okay. All right. All right. Very good. That is it. That's in a nutshell. And I'm thinking, and you know, this is so biased, and I apologize in advance. nagging, when y'all hear the word nagging, the first thought that comes to, I think, a lot of men's minds is that a woman, you know, they first think, I think that's the negative connotation that's associated with the word nagging. They think about their significant other, their wife, their girlfriend, or their fiance, whatever the case is. They're thinking about her. Excuse me, but the reality of it is, it's not just a woman that nags. It can also be a man who nags as well. So, you know, let's not get it twisted out here, because women can consider their men to be, you know, one who nags as well. I've heard people who are close to me, one in particular, who says that her husband is like a woman because he nags, and nags. And, you know, I've learned that over the time, he began to listen to her, you know, this person that I know, and realized that, you know what, his wife may have had a valid point in telling him that he was like a woman. And I think it's probably kind of offensive, but even the wife indicated or expressed that, you know, that connotation that it's like a woman. So, and I'm sure she meant that from the perspective that that's what men are always saying about women. So let me let him know up front that it's not just women. And if you want to put it as women, then you sound like a woman. Okay? So, you know, and I'm sure that's what she was doing. And that can be very devastating, you know, to some people. But, of course, nagging. And I do believe that men nag. You know, you're complaining about something, but it's usually something or a lack of something that your significant other is not doing. Anything else you want to add before I go to tonight's story?
No, I would love to hear tonight's story. I think it's going to be an awesome show.
All right, great. Okay, tonight, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, are you running your companion or significant other away with your nagging, getting on their nerves? Frank and Glenda are tonight's characters in our story. And then it happened. Frank and Glenda finally said goodbye to each other after an unsuccessful 6-year dating span. Frank cited the breakup on the fact that he thought Glenda nagged him too much. Glenda expressed her views that Frank was simply not the man that she hoped to marry one day. Although the couple has lived together for the past 3 years, it has clearly not been easy because of their seemingly simple differences. Glenda does not complain a lot, according to Frank, but her complaints are not. No, I'm sorry. Glenda does complain a lot, according to Frank, but her complaints are not without merit. She complains that Frank thinks that only his job as a local truck driver is so important that it exempts him from doing anything Glenda calls manly stuff around the house. She insists that Frank will not look into having any of the household repairs done. Furthermore, she insists that Frank will not look into any of the household repairs done. They have no children, and Frank will not take out even the garbage until she has mentioned several times the smell in the house over and over again. He refuses to bathe every night. I mean, you know, he's not trying to get that little sprinkle on him. He refuses to bathe every night prior to going to bed, and this really bothers Glenda, causing her to complain about it. Again, her complaints are not without merit and appear justified. But to Frank, he's thinking that she's constantly nagging him. Now that they have moved apart for the past 2 months, they've separated. Frank is now missing her so desperately that he's desperately trying to get her back. And she is actually seriously contemplating whether to go back to him since he offered to this time get married to her. Frank insists that he has changed for the better. Glenda is still concerned that his lackadaisical behaviors will only be temporary, and she may eventually get frustrated again, this time as a wife to him. Glenda is now lonely, frustrated, confused, seriously confused, I should say. And the ninth question that we start out with, Ms. Blake, and I pose to you, should Glinda rush back into Frank's waiting arms, or should she even go back to him at all? Ms. Blake, what do you think? And let's keep it real.
She should not rush. I'm not going to say rule him out completely, because I think I heard you say they have children.
They have no children. They have no children.
Oh, they don't have any children. Okay, that's the part I missed. Well, then definitely she shouldn't rush back. And to me, if a man says he's going to change or that, I need to see it, demonstrate it. You know, love is an action word. And so, you know, let him show her that he's changed. Don't tell her that he's going to.
Okay. I certainly agree with that. You know, and I'm going to ask myself that same question. Should she rush back into his waiting arms? Or should she go back to him at all? And I agree with you, Ms. Blake. You know, it's one thing to say something, but it's another thing to demonstrate it. And I just, you know, you've heard me say over and over again on this show, I just don't think that people change overnight. She has lived with this man for the past 3 years. She's seen this mm-hmm. behavior. She's complained about it. And now, you know, people, I'm not just going to say men, because I think women do it as well. They say things and they know all the right buttons to push, the things to say to try to get back, to win that heart over. But oftentimes these things, in my opinion, are temporary. And that's what she's afraid of. Because now that he gets back there, and she's lived it for 3 years, I say, Linda, don't bother with this. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. But, you know, we'll take some callers that come in, and let's go to the first caller. We're going to go to 954, looks like 216. Who do we have?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us. Rose, what do you think? Should Glinda simply rush back into his waiting arms?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I hear what you and Miss Blake say. You know, she shouldn't rush back into it. But I'm going to go a bit further, because she shouldn't get back in it at all. I really don't think she needs to go back into this. They have been together for 6 years, living together for 3 years, and she has this complaint year after year, okay, with the things that really bothers her, him not liking to bathe every night before bed, he's not taking the garbage out, all of these things. He's not even trying to do any repairs or get somebody to do the repairs. I'm not even saying that he needs to do the repairs himself, but, you know, He could get someone to do it, you know. And this is still going to frustrate her if she goes back. Worse, if she marries him. And I know that he might change for a minute because he so desperately wants her back. But what happens 6 months later when he goes back into his normal routine, you know. So, you know, I would say to Glenna, you know, look someplace else and just forget about him. I know that the heart is not very easy to just do that, you know, because when you're in love with someone, you know, I think we allow our heart to dictate to us. But if she can help it, I think she needs to just move forward and leave him behind.
I think that, Rose, you know, I couldn't say it any better, and I agree with you 100%. Because I clearly think that this man is not going to change. And then all he's going to do now is she will go from being a frustrated girlfriend to a frustrated wife. And then it's even worse because now to undo some of these things that she's done, she will be so upset with herself that she will ultimately be affected by that. Ms. Blake, let me go to you and ask this question here. When it comes to Glenn again, should she, I mean, just take advantage of this opportunity to completely rid herself of Frank, on your opinion, and move on with her life? And that's what Rose is saying, and I tend to agree with Rose. Should she, and I know sometimes you say you don't want the people to be too hard on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, and again, the heart, you know, the heart and the head. So it just depends on how much in love she is with him. But I would say, above all, before she makes any decision, to let him show her or have the opportunity to demonstrate he has changed. Doesn't mean they have to move back in together, but again, I still stick with my first thing is see if he's changed. And, you know, if he hasn't, no, don't waste your time.
Okay. The only way to know if he's changed is to come back, give him that second chance or the third chance and see.
Nothing can tell. I'm sorry.
Okay, tell me how you'd be able to tell without living with him.
Yeah, because I think it was in household. It was
Well, just like Rose said, you know, he didn't have to make the repairs himself, but to have them done, and I think that that's the problem. He wasn't even trying to get them done. You know, it's not expected that the man knows how to do everything, but Glenda termed it the manly things that a guy would normally do. Not necessarily he's got to go in there and do it himself, but to actually get someone to do it.
And he can do that without being in the home. I mean, you know, I always make it on secret that I date. And guys can come in and I need this done, I need that done. Okay, I'll take care of it. Also, as far as the bathing, I mean, come on. You know somebody not washing. You don't have to live with them to know they're not washing.
All right, okay.
So he'll know that pretty quick, too.
Well, I mean, if he's going over there to visit her at her place, now you know, and this was a problem, you know he's going to bathe and smell real. He's going to smell like that cologne factory when he gets over there. You know, seriously. Right, but then when they get married, he's going to be thinking, I bathed this morning before I went to work. Why should I have to bathe again? I mean, who bathes twice a day? He might be thinking that. You never know. I mean, Rose, give me your take on that. If the man says he bathed this morning, why he figure he got to bathe again? I mean, once a day? I mean, can you rub the skin off?
Well, you know, they say bathing once a day is enough. And no law that say you got to bathe twice. However, the fact that he's driving the truck, so, I mean, that warrants another shower when you get home after being out there in the sun and all. You know, even working in an office, and especially when you have a mate, you have a husband that you or a wife that you're living with, or in their case, fiance or boyfriend or girlfriend, you want to go to bed refreshed. You know, you don't want to go to bed smelling up whatever happened throughout the day, or the perfume or cologne that you wore. You know, and now you're gonna sleep. Your mate don't want to be smelling that cologne on you or that perfume on you. So I think it's only fair that you take a shower, even if it's a quick shower. But you know, take a little shower before you go to bed so you can smell refreshed for your mate, and you might even sleep better.
That's an interesting perspective. Okay, so, Ms. Blake, now I think I begin to understand even more what you're saying. She can tell, you know, because if they're living apart, she will know whether he will take care of those repairs. After you show these signs for 3 months, even living apart, and he's bathing. Now, remember, you know, once that heart, and Rose was saying it earlier, she knows how deeply that heart can get involved, and that heart can also be deceiving. Because once you get in there, now he's gathered, she's like, she's expecting him to take a bath that night. And he's saying, you know, sweetie, I'm really, really tired. I'm really, now he's wanting her heart back over. He's in there, and she's expecting him to take a bath, and he's not even changing the underwear. So, I mean,
oh, no.
And he says, baby, it's just, look, I really am just not feeling well tonight. Sweetie, let me just take a nap, and I'm going to get up, and then I'm going to go take a bath. Now, you know she's not going to rest comfortably. She's just not.
Right.
Because what he called the nap. By the time he gets to bed, now he's snoring. You think he's prone to want to wake up?
No.
No.
So,
he's not.
I mean, again, she'll pick up on those things, though. I still feel that she can pick up on it in time. I mean, I wouldn't rush to marry him.
Okay. But he would spend the night over a few nights. He's going to bathe every night. He's
not
gonna be.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so cruel.
He smells. He's gonna bathe. You know, as long until he gets her where they're back together, he feels she's comfortable enough with it. And of course, I can be wrong. Of course, you know. But I just, people don't change overnight. They don't.
Right.
It takes something.
And the other thing is, she knows this man. They didn't just meet. So she'll know. And then women's intuition, but even on top of that, just common sense as a human being, she'll quickly know if he hasn't changed. He's not going to be able to mask it that well.
All right. Let's go back on topic here. Are you running your companion away with your naggy? Rose, let me ask you this question, and then let me ask you this question, and then let me ask you this question, and then we'll take a look at, you know, this story. What do you think that Glenda's complaints were considered nagging?
I don't consider it to be nagging. I just think he finds it nagging because she probably have to say it over and over and repeatedly. So to him, it's nagging, but these are things that that bothered her, and the only way for her to get it across to him is to let him know, you know. So if he's not bathing at night, she's going to keep telling him, listen, this bothers me. Why don't you take a shower? So to him, it's nagging because he doesn't want to hear it. And I think that's what happens with people a lot of times. A lot of times, maybe what we call nagging to us might not be nagging to the person who we think is nagging, because this person is something that's bothering that person, you know, and that person needs to get this message across. And I know Ms. Blake said, if you said it once, the person here, and that's true, you know, because there are times when you just don't want to hear something more than once. And I think in that case, if the person said it to you once, they don't need to repeat it several times. They need to watch to see if you're actually going to take heed. Now, it's when that person is not taking heed, and you say time is going by, or days or weeks, and the same thing is keep happening, then I think you're right to repeat it as many times as it takes for the person to hear, to actually do what you need them to do, you know?
I think that that's an interesting perspective, and I kind of want to feed on that, too. When Ms. Blake said the first time they've heard it, I agree that now it's time to kind of watch and see if they're going to take some action and give it a time frame. And then if they don't, then you got to, of course, repeat it again. Ms. Blake, do you think that that's overdoing it?
Given it a time frame, I think that's fair. But again, you know, if he starts to show those signs again, she pretty much should know that it's over.
Right. I agree with that. I do agree with that as well. All right, we're asking for your comments as well. Ms. Blake, how do you define nagging, the word nagging, you know?
Well, I think you heard a hint of it during my initial response. So if someone is saying something to me more than once, you know, it can quickly be defined as nagging, particularly if I heard them. That's the kind of a pet peeve of mine, because typically I will turn off somebody that's nagging. I won't even hear them.
Okay. All right. I think that that's an interesting perspective. And I look at nagging as also having to repeatedly remind someone of something, you know, time and again, that, you know, you have an expectation for them to do or not do. And they seem to ignore your request. And then they, you know, nagging is when somebody's having to tell you something over and over again in a harsh style, maybe a hostile way. And I don't think that in Glenda's case here, I wouldn't define that as nagging. Of course, Frank would see it as nagging. But I think that she's complaining, and the question becomes, is complaining and nagging, could that be used intertwined or interchangeably? What do you think, Ms. Blake?
Not really, in my opinion. I mean, that's just my opinion. Complaining could be like, you don't do this, you don't do that. I guess I see nagging, it's just my opinion, as when somebody keeps telling me the same thing over and over. Like if they say, don't forget to, could you take the trash out for me? And I'm like, okay, I got it. And then, like, 10 minutes later, are you going to take the trash out? Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, that's one form of nagging, you know, like if you don't do it fast enough. So that person just feels like they have to keep repeating it. It's like, I kind of heard you the first time. That's just me.
Well, I kind of like that, too, that you're having to, a person is constantly badgering you with something. They won't, I mean, and the question becomes, even if they are, in the scenario that you, or the analysis that you gave, even if that person is saying, are you going to take the garbage out? 10 minutes later, are you going to take the garbage out? And then the question becomes, is that complaining because you didn't take it out, or is that nagging when it's smelling in the house, like in Glenda's case? You know, the smell is there. Is that nagging them because you're constantly seemingly badgering them with taking that garbage out? Or should she just simply take it out herself?
Exactly. And the reason I say that is because if that person can't wait, you know, if it's that urgent, then they may need to do it themselves. Because in that instance, it's somebody who has a timeline, they kind of want control. It's like, yes, I'll take the garbage out there, but it's not going to be the second. You know, like maybe your husband's waiting until the first half of the game is over. And you want it out right now because it smells.
Okay, and not he's not waiting for a commercial, but the first half of the game to be over.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Ms. Bake, you know how sometimes, and I think as creatures of habit, perhaps we all have some idiosyncrasies that we subscribe to.
Right.
But as a creature of habit, when that let's just say it's smelling in there, and it was smelling a couple of days ago, and that smell from a couple of days ago has not subsided because an individual waited so long to take the garbage out at that time. So now that smell has has gotten into seemingly the walls. And so now here is another smell that has come, but a new smell that's compounding the previous smell. And so now it's a frustration with the individual, you know, because the woman wants him to do what's considered to be the manly thing. And so, and I know you're saying maybe if it's frustrating her too much, she should just take the garbage out herself.
I live this scenario, and I probably just set up and just take it myself. And, you know, normally, you know how it goes. Oh, I was going to get that. Oh, no, don't worry about it. I got it.
Did you have to do that a lot, Ms. Blake?
I can't remember. I think I blocked it out.
Okay.
But I know I've done it.
Okay. Right. And I'm sure there are others that have done it. But then after a while, you know.
Well, you got to come to sleep at night. That's all I'll say.
Okay, just give me some peace. So it may be, well, Rose, let's go to you. Let's ask you this question, Rose. I mean, should she take the garbage out all the time before the smell builds up? And then should she go ahead and just look after making the repairs? I mean, after all, he probably treats her good. I mean, and then can she just, that was nice when he don't take a bath, can she just sleep in another room? Those three things there.
Well, I'm going to say I agree with Ms. Blake, you know, and I would do the same. Just taking the garbage out without making a big deal, especially if I tell him a couple of times and he's not doing it. Because, hey, I don't want to smell that scent in the house. So, therefore, Glenna needs to, unless she enjoys the scent, you know, just take the garbage out. It's not a big deal. Really, it isn't, you know. And, when it comes to, unless she's really picky, you know, and she just want him to do the manly things. But you know what? I think that sometimes you got to look at things that it's just not a manly thing. You know, it's anyone who can do certain things. And, you know, if you're home and you see to be done, just as long as it's something that you can do, you know. I think that's a small step that sometimes people sweat the small step when they need to be. So with her taking the garbage out, it's not a big deal. And you know what? If she loves him enough and really don't want to ruin their relationship, okay, so he's driving trucks in the daytime, I suppose, and I guess she goes to work. Something needs to be done around the house. So you call the repair person. Just make sure he pays for it, you know. But, you know, there are things that she can do in order to not break up the relationship if she loves him enough. Now, if she's just looking for a reason to end the relationship, then, you know, I guess she can always use that as a reason. But if she really loves him and wants to save the relationship, then she can just find other ways around it. It's no big deal to take the garbage out, you know. And like Miss Blake said, oh, he was going to say, I was going to get to that. Okay, yes, maybe we can get it the next time, you know. But there are things she can do to make it a little bit easier for herself.
Okay, so, Rose, based on that, and I got to throw something else in, would you recant your earlier statement by saying don't go back to him, or would you say based on this now, this information, that it's a small step? Would you say she should go back to him and then also address the part about him not bathing? Should she wash him off? Because that's a small step as well.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I am not going to say that she should go back to him. I would have said maybe she didn't have to leave him initially for that reason, unless she really no longer wanted him. And if that's the case, then she don't need to go back. But I'm saying that those things are somewhat, well, to me, might be a little bit small. Now, apparently to her, it's a big deal. And that's why she just wanted to get out of there. But had she not leave him, she could have worked around it. Now, the fact that she already moved out, I suppose, and they're definitely separated, I would say, why go back into something that frustrates you so much? You already took the time now to move out. You're ready to a new place. You went through all of this trouble to get away from this person. I'm saying, you know, why bother going back into it since it frustrated you so much for you to leave? And if she had not moved out or go her separate way, addressing the bathing issue, that's kind of a hard one because you don't really want to smell somebody in the bed, especially if he's sweaty. You know, that might be the hardest part of all of this, you know, because I don't think it's easy to lay up in bed and smell your partner, you know, sweaty, and that one is kind of hard. I would say if she's with him, you might need to go sleep on the sofa or something, you know. I don't know. That's hard. That's hard.
Rose, that is interesting. I can understand, hear your voice over the phone. That is very hard. So let's go to the phone line. Miss Blake, hold on, you and Rose. Let's go to the phone line. We're going to go to 786-306. Welcome to the show this evening. Who do we have on the air?
Stanley,
thank you for joining us, Stanley. Stanley, can you help us make some sense out of this, nagging and, you know, so forth and so on? What do you think, Stanley?
Well, you see, the story, I think she must be falling in love with him with his funkiness, because we don't know what's going on. Maybe that's the way she fall in love with him, because before they met, I'm sure he was like that. And, you know, and for spend 3 years together, she had to fall in love with something, they were sleeping together. So maybe that's how she fall in love with his scent. And then maybe after a while, she just, you know, she figure it's too much. And she tried to talk to him, and then, but, you know, that's the way she met him. He's not going to change. and she again nagging him about the garbage. So that means she love nasty scent, stinking scent, and he funk because he ain't like to bathe. She don't like to take the garbage out. So I think the both of them is a match. One loves smelling stinking scent, and the other one smell, you know, funky. So I think, well, you know, I think it's a good match. because certain garbage out is not a job for nobody. It's two people live in a house or three people. Don't care how much people live in a house. When the garbage time to put out, somebody just take it out. You don't have to nag nobody and tell them it's time to take the garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he don't want a bed for going to bed. All she has to do, don't give him no sex. And if he wants sex, he will go in bed. But if she giving him sex with his dusty skin,
exactly.
Like, continue, because he think that's the way he turning she on.
Right. That's a good point, Stanley.
Yeah.
If he wants, he has to go bathe, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
If he wants something, he has to go bathe, you know. Take a bath,
Rosie,
you know.
I do agree with that part of what Stanley said, you know. I don't think I thought about that initially, but now that I've heard Stanley say that, I think that's really a good point. So therefore, that might kind of force him to take a shower. But then again, maybe he might only take a shower those times when he wants to have sex, you know, and other nights he might not. So maybe she might have to sleep elsewhere in a different room those nights when he really is not planning to have sex, because maybe those are the only nights that he's going to start taking a shower. Stanley, what do you think about that?
Well, that, you know, that could be true too, but you know, men like sometimes when they, you know, if the woman really serious about it, he definitely, if she say, look, you're not lying down next to me and thing like that, or she move and go somewhere else, you know, you were going to take a shower. But who to know if that's the way she fall in love with him, by his funkiness, because some women are like, ooh, you just sweaty and smell good, you know, and he figure he's a macho man, oh man, you know, and that's maybe how the relationship starts. And he think, well, then, okay, I'm a hot man because a woman fall in love with me and my, you know, and that's the way the relationship going on.
Right. Okay. Well, Sam, we're going to ask you to stand back just for a second. We've got to take some of the comments, and we're only about 15 minutes away from closing the show tonight. And let's take a look at these comments. Are you running your companion or significant other away with your nagging? First comment. Stanley, we're going to give you this first comment. This female writes in. She says, it's not true that women only nag. My ex-husband was worse than a woman when it came to nagging. I had to get out of that marriage after 7 years. Stanley, do you think it's true that men nag as well, like this lady is suggesting here?
Oh, yeah, some men nag. Oh, yeah, some men nag the woman all the time for no reason. You know, and, you know, I have friends that do that, that they, you know, that they wife or girlfriend tell me about it, you know, nagging for no reason, and I talk to them about it, and, you know, but they just, because they're jealous so much that every time the woman goes somewhere, he come, you know, and come back, it's some kind of nagging. Even though she go to the store to buy food and she's, and the line was too long and she come back home, he start nagging. You know, that could run somebody out of a relationship, because, you know, when people in love, when a relationship, we're supposed to be happy. That's why they name relationship. You're supposed to be comfortable, satisfied, and be happy in a relationship. And if you're not, you'll have to leave. Otherwise, to carry on your life.
Okay. So Stanley, you think she did the right thing by making him her ex?
Yeah, she do. Yeah, she do the right thing. She do the right thing, because you can't. It's not good to live in an unhealthy relationship. It's not. It's not good.
So you find, Stanley, that in your line of work, whatever you do, or your friends, the ladies will come to you and talk about the nagging that their husbands do. What advice do you give them for a nagging husband? These ladies that come to you.
Well, I try to tell them, well, then relationship is supposed to be, you're supposed to be comfortable and be satisfied in a relationship. That's why it's named relationship, because when you say you have a relationship with God, that means you have a relationship with someone. You'll be comfortable, satisfied, and be happy. And if you're in a relationship and it's not, and, you know, and you're uncomfortable, you know, you just have to get out of it, because the most important thing in life is being satisfied and comfortable in life. And if you is not, you can't live your life like that. So you got to talk to them, and if they're not understanding it, you got to take a further step in life, because it's very important to be satisfied and content in life.
That's an interesting perspective, Stan. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Blake, we're going to send the next comment out to you. This email writes in, she says, in reference to running your significant other away or your companion away due to nagging, I learned the hard way that some women do nag. I guess we learn it from our mothers. My mother's nagging caused my father to leave her. Unfortunately, I nagged my husband, and now we are separated. What advice, if any, would you give to her? And then, first of all, let me ask you, is that likely that some women learn nagging from their mothers?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, yeah. And now that she realized that, you know, unfortunately I nagged my husband and now we're separated, should she try to make amends, would you think, if she now has discovered that she's the one that's doing the nagging?
She can, yeah, especially being that she's married. It's a behavior that she just has to make the effort to change.
Okay, Rose, let me pose that same one to you here, you know, getting another woman's perspective as well, because this situation here, now that they're separated, and, I mean, we don't know whether the husband will go back to her, but if she's willing to make that change and she can show that she's made that change, then almost based on the same premise of the story tonight, Frank and Glenda, what's to say that her change won't be temporary, and then she regress right back to her old ways?
Well, apparently she identified and now is admitting what she did in the relationship that caused the problem or caused the separation. Now I think she is now willing to change that. Now, it's not going to be changed overnight. She would need some help maybe in order to change that cycle that she have learned all her life, because she grew up watching her mother and apparently learned that behavior from her mom. So now, but she's taking the first step into wanting to change. Now, I think she should want to change not only for her husband and not only to get him back, but for herself, just in case she don't even get him back, she would need to change for the next relationship that she's going to go into. So therefore, I think she could approach her husband and let him know that she has identified her fault, and she would love to give the marriage a second try, but she's also let him know that she's now willing to seek the necessary help that she needs in order to get this change. And I think she should also let him know that, I understand if you don't want to jump back into this relationship right away. You know, it's okay. But I'm going to seek the help. And over time, if you desire, I'm willing to give it another try. You know, I think this way he will be more, he would realize that she is serious. She's not just trying to jump back into this relationship. And she's giving him the space that he needs in order to rethink the whole marriage.
You know, that is so interesting, because it makes me even think about my prior statements about Frank and Glenda. And, you know, and sometimes I know that I might be extreme when I'm on this show, because I'm thinking people don't change overnight. But, and I've heard other people that have come on the air and they talk about, you know, forgiveness and so forth and so on. It's not that I'm not suggesting forgiveness or has anything to do in this case with forgiveness. But I'm saying, you know, as I listen to get these different perspectives, and Rose, you mentioned earlier about sweating the small stuff, and Ms. Blake, I know your position on certain things, and Stanley has even given some thoughts in terms of, you know, it's not that big a deal, you know, taking out the garbage. It's not that big a deal to making a phone call to have some of the repairs done. You know, the bathing part, unless he wants to be intimate that night, you know, sleep on another, somewhere else, if you're loving the person. So it seems like love, true, sincere love, can actually make the difference in a lot of situations where you once may have just easily thrown in the towel, Ms. Blake, and now you're saying, you know what, it's not that big a deal, because some people have relationships that are much worse. Would you agree, Ms. Lake?
I agree. So, you know, that's why I'm a big proponent of giving things a chance. But at the same time,
right.
you don't ever want to put yourself where you're being, you know, abused or taken for granted
right.
for too long.
Right, of course. And in this case here, I mean, you just think about it now. Like Rose said earlier, if she just doesn't want to be with him, this is your window of opportunity to just let it go. But, you know, when people, I don't think any of us as humans get it 100% right all the time. And even with the maintenance of that, I don't think we're 100% of the time we'll keep it right. Because even when we have maybe seemingly mastered one thing, there's something else that may all of a sudden come out to be a deficit that's going to aggravate or frustrate our significant other. So it seems like, you know, when they say it's always something, there's a good likelihood
right.
that there is always going to be something, because we're still developing physically in some cases, you know, and, of course, emotionally and mentally and spiritually as well. All right, this next comment, Ms. Blake, we're going to give you that one as well. Citizen, this male writes in, he says, I think it's true that men can also nag, at least that's what I have learned from two of my coworkers. These guys do nothing but talk negatively about their spouses. One of them is now being divorced by his wife. I guess I can't really blame her. Ms. Blake, would you think that, I mean, we've already talked about that men can nag as well, but when you're talking to somebody negatively about your spouse, especially men, how devastating could that be, even when it's women talking negatively about their spouse? It's almost like you're putting it out there into the atmosphere.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure I understand, because I'm hearing that it's the men that's doing the nagging.
Right, his coworkers.
And,
his coworkers are talking
right.
about him, you know, telling him about their spouses.
Right. Well, it is a frustrating thing. I think that, you know, that's why people have to use the I statements when they communicate instead of the you don't. And that's hard to do. I mean, I sometimes find it challenging, but to take that time and formulate your communication in a non-accusatory fashion.
Okay. All right. Stanley, what do you think? I mean, what advice would you give these guys that are, I mean, you listen to the women that nag about their husbands. Now, here are two guys that are nagging about their wives. What would you listen to them, and would you advise them?
Yeah, I will advise them. I will say, well, then, if you love someone or you're sleeping with someone, you shouldn't be going out there and telling anyone anything negative about the one that you slept with or you live with. You're supposed to give positive, encouraging words to others about the one that you sleep with and the one that you live with, because where there is love, there have to be communication. Where there is communication, there have to be understanding. And these are things that we have to put in mind. We have to understand each other. And if you have to be going and talking bad about someone, it ain't making no sense going and sleeping with that person, because sleeping with that person is too, you're like one. So you're talking bad about yourself too, because I look at you like nobody, talking about the one that you're sleeping with to me. You know, so I tell
right.
them, look, man, that's not a good idea. But a lot of people do that, but it's not a good idea, because I don't do that.
Okay. All right, Stanley, we're going to give you this other comment. Let's give this one to you. This male writes in, he says, are you running your significant other away with your negative, your nagging? He says, I dated this girl for 2 months and had to let her go because she got on my last nerve with her constant complaining about everything and about everyone. I actually call that the same as nagging. Is it the same as nagging? And I'm thinking of complaining. Maybe she had, it was with marriage, you know, and he said after 2 months he just let her go. Maybe good for him. But is complaining, would you view complaining and nagging as the same?
Huh.
Yeah. Well
maybe. for the person who is listening, you know, it might just sound nagging to that person, because maybe she might have been complaining about the same thing constantly, and maybe he found it nagging, you know. So he got out of it. It was only 2 months. So, you know, I think he probably did the right thing, knowing that he cannot live with it. Okay, this is something that he knows he cannot live with, and this is how she appears to be. So, I think he did the right thing in coming out.
Yeah, if it is, that's the case. And, you know, I often even tell people, you know, check yourself. You know, are you misinterpreting things? You know, put yourself in that other person's place. What is she complaining about? Or what is he nagging about? You know, let's check ourselves and maybe even write it down and see if it has merit behind it. I mean, like in Glenda's case, if she's asking him, if she considers that to be the manly thing and he's not doing that, well, now that they're separated, and I want to go back to that, if that's important to her, that he gets that because she's doing the things that she feels perhaps are the woman thing, if there's roles, which we have had shows on roles, and we're going to go back to that and revisit one of those shows, you know, the role of men and women. Is there roles? Ms. Blake, what do you think? I mean, in this case, should the garbage be a role? And I know what we've said tonight, you know, it's don't have to be a big deal.
It just depends on the couple. So I don't, you know, I mean, typically it does happen that you look for the man to take the trash out. But, I mean, hey, you know, when you get divorced or if you're single, you've been taking the trash out by yourself. So it just depends on what the couple decides. But
okay.
The issue becomes if he says, you know, I'll take the trash out. I'm sorry. I'll take the trash out. And then he's sitting up there, the trash been smelling for 3 days now. That's a problem.
That is a problem. That's a problem, you know, because, I mean, you know, if she's reminding him, I don't see anything wrong with that. You say you're going to take the garbage out. And then if she does take the garbage out and he's sitting there and he's watching his sports or whatever, he's, you know, and he's just ignoring that, you know, I think that would be frustrating. I mean, if I were a woman, that would probably frustrate me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you say don't sweat small stuff, so we've heard that. Ms. Blake, this last comment. This female writes in. She says, I really don't know what to tell people because my husband complains that I nag him all the time. But I don't think it's true. Why should I have to constantly ask him to do things that a man should do? Just like in the story with Glenda and Frank, that a man should do around the house, like get needed repairs done. If that is nagging, then so be it. So she has a different spin on it here. Manly stuff, and that's where we're going to have that show on the roles of men and women. Are there really true roles? So, Ms. Blake, speak to that issue, and then we'll close it out.
Well, she has a valid point, but again, it has to do with what was the agreement, what did they decide on? And because you can't just assume that people are going to have certain roles because they may not have been raised up, you know, with that or having that example. So they really should talk about it. And then once it's agreed upon, that person should keep their part of the agreement.
Right. But, you know, it's so interesting because when you think about it, have you ever known anyone that sat around when they were dating and say, well, if we live together, will you be taking the garbage out? Will you get needed repairs around the house done? Or is that an expectation? Have you ever known anybody, Ms. Blake, that sat around and said that they were considering, you know, who's going to take the garbage out? I've never heard that conversation from anybody. Have you?
It's probably rare, but it happens. It at least happened early on in a relationship. You know, like I remember my husband and I, we had the bed thing, you know, who makes the bed up? And because I hate an unmade bed. And oftentimes, say, on a weekend, I might leave him in bed. get up early, and then the bed doesn't get made. So we made this rule, like, the last person out of the bed wakes up the bed. Well, he started making sure he jumped out before I did all the time.
I understand that. But, Rose, let me pose the same question to you, Rose. What do you think? Have you ever heard anyone have a discussion at the dinner table and say, well, you know what, before we get married, I just want to know who's going to be responsible for taking out the garbage? And that was a consideration for their marriage.
No, I've never heard anyone that actually did that. But I have heard of people who actually sit down and talk about the different roles of the husband and the wife, you know. Okay, what are you going to do? I've heard someone said that, well, he won't do any domestic work, and she won't do anything outside of the house, like yard work or anything like that. You know, so, and I suppose if they do sit down and make and decide who the roles, although they might not pinpoint and say garbage, it might just be assumed that the husband would do that, you know?
All right, that is an interesting perspective because, I mean, there it is. Ms. Blake, any final word on trying to avoid running your companion away by not nagging, as Rose said earlier? You know, don't sweat that small stuff.
Right, right. Don't sweat the small stuff. Communicate. Use I statements. You know, I really like when you take the trash out. I really like when you come home and put on dinner before I get there. It's really helpful, and it kind of turns me on. Use a little positive reinforcement instead of, you don't take the trash out. People are not going to listen to that. You know, just think of how you would like to hear it said to you.
Okay. All right. From that perspective, we are clearly out of time. I want to thank all of my callers tonight and those of you all that were still trying to get in. And, of course, Ms. Blake, it's always a pleasure to have you each and every week. I want to say join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us back here next Tuesday live for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.